halfway between sleep and wake, and it's like some force pressing in, and then the moment you could say Jesus, the whole thing disappears. Now, if that's how powerful Jesus' name is, think about how powerful when it's always on your lips. And you always say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I worship you. Jesus, Jesus, all the time. What will it do in your life? At his name, demons tremble. Remember I talked about torturing Satan and all these things? Every time you say, Jesus, all the demons, if they are in hearing range, go, ouch, ooh, ow, itch, ooch, if only you could hear them. Every time you say, Jesus, oh no, all the thrones above go, what's shaking this place? Because the name has power. At his name, on the lips of a believer, it's the most powerful sounds any human being can make. Call upon the name Jesus. Finally, lastly, Satan is afraid of the presence of God. It's God the Father. In the book of 2 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, in Jesus' coming, it says here in verse 10, 9 and 10, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 9 and 10, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Now, Revelation 19 talk about Jesus coming on a white horse, and that with the sword out of His mouth, you know, He ruled the nations. Primarily, the presence of God and the glory of God comes, it reduced the Antichrist to nothing. So, even today, His presence is feared by Satan. And in many books, when you read about how the angels and all those overcome satanic force, think about it. How do angels fight? With big swords, okay. Okay, you all know that Michael the Archangel and all these angels, they are warring for us. How do they fight? Now, some of you are very imaginative and you think that they are probably having their lightsabers, you know, and they're crossing swords up there. Sorry, that's not the picture. That's not the picture. They are not doing that now. So how do angels fight? And you got angels protecting your life. How do they fight against demons that are trying to come against your life? Do they cross swords or use their wings to cover you? Or do they use pugilistic arts as the demon came? One of your soldiers go, ha! And give the demon a kick, a spiritual kick? No. Yes, this is how I saw, and many others of vision saw how the angels fight. All the angels did is stand their ground. Some of them lift out their hands, and they worship God. And the presence came, and the demons flee. So away with those pugilistic martial arts, crossing swords and lightsabers. Because all Satan and his demons and all of them have been defeated at the cross of Calvary. All the angels need to do. And in the book, let me recommend a few books. Visions Beyond the Veil by H.A. Baker. A group of orphans in Adulam Orphanage in China. They had a revival, and a lot of them were slain in the spirit, and they were taken to heaven. Many trips to heaven. And it was a big revival. And so he records some of the little children who don't know much of the Bible, but they went in the spirit realm. They saw these angels. They saw the end time. They saw the angels. And they saw these angels pushing back the forces of darkness. And they saw these angels doing this. That whenever Satan tried to come against anyone and that the angels are protecting, or a nation or city, the angels just gather together and worship. And the presence of God comes, and it when the presence of God comes, it just disrupts all the enemy, and it routs the enemy off the scene. It's a powerful, powerful way the angels make God. Now think about how the saints of God can fight. Whenever we worship God, whenever we praise God, the presence of God comes and goes off. Now, in my personal experience, I have one what year was that? That was in the third year of my seminary training in the Baptist seminary. And we were going from, the seminary was in Penang, we were visiting the mainland, one of the little towns there. And there was a person who was demonized in the little town. And so we were a group all together, and then the first thing that everybody tried to do was to cast out the demon. All the screaming, shouting. And so when we went there, that time I was already learning about some of the things of the Lord. And then finally, when everybody, you know, did what they need to do and they couldn't, for me, the first thing I do is always seek the Lord. And I heard an inner voice told me two things. Number one, that person is wearing a sort of charm. Number two, to praise and worship. And so after they did everything, and about an hour later, they turned to me and says, "Hey, do you have anything?" You know, and so I say, "Yes." I said these two things. So we asked one of the sisters to take that to go aside and check, and they found this black string with some sort of a charm. We call it a charm or amulet being worn by this person. The moment she took it off and cut it off, the demon began to scream. And then when we gather to worship, now they already done what they can to take authority. They just stood back and worship. The demon screamed, laughed, and this person fell down, woke up completely free. So sometimes you don't have to come to a demonized person and say, "In Jesus' name, come out! In Jesus' name, come out! In Jesus' name, come out! In Jesus' name, come out!" 1,000 times. No. Sometimes you just have to worship, and then you sense the link with the Lord. You just have to command once, "In the name of Jesus, come out!" And then you start worshiping God. You start worshiping God, and God does the rest. Amen. That's all you need to do. So worship and the presence of God is so important. We need to move with the presence of God. And as you all know, the presence of God can come on a handkerchief and demons can leave. Right? In Acts chapter 19. As Paul was preaching, aprons and handkerchief were brought to him. And when they were brought to sick people, the demons ran. No one command. Did the handkerchief have a little tape recorder that say, "You didn't come out"? And the demon went, no! Tape recorders were not recorded, were invented yet. The handkerchief can't talk. But the handkerchief had the presence of God. And the presence of God drove out demons. So that is why I do not believe in a lot of wrong teaching going around, where for a person to be free from demons, they must go through a certain counseling period that everyone 100% must go through, you know, because everyone has a different lifestyle. And something you read, people read the wrong books and they think to be free from demons, they must renounce these 99 things. Things that they never even do. No. Some people may be helped in that way, but not everyone. In the same way, not everyone needs to be freed, you know, by this kind of exorcism process. Many times, people just get their life filled with God, and every demonic bondage in their life is broken. See, the problem is when we Christians begin to put things into a formula. Everyone just go through this formula. That is not being led by the Spirit. There are 1,001, maybe more than that. There are 1,000,001, maybe more than that. There are 1,000,000,001, maybe more than that. 1,000,000,001 ways in which God could set a person free. So don't be bound to just a formula, a method, etc. But remember that in the end, having done all those things, it's the presence of God that set a person free. seven things that Satan is afraid of. Number one, he is afraid of those who are not afraid to die. Number two, he is afraid of people who are filled with God's love. Number three, he is afraid of those who live a holy life. Number four, he is afraid of unity among brethren. Number five, he is afraid of the Holy Spirit and his gifts. Number six, he is afraid of Jesus and all that pertains to Jesus. Number seven, he is afraid of the presence of God. Let's make Satan afraid. Put him in terror and let him flee from your lives. Let's pray.